And again, good morning. The Hebrews requested prayer again on their way back to Manitoba, so we're going to remember them in prayer. I have a very interesting message this morning, which has been on my heart for probably 3 or 4 months, but it came to fruition within maybe 3 or 4 weeks ago, where the Lord really laid it out for me. It was kind of, there are so many scriptures on it, I could probably just do a sermon on just the scripture. That's maybe 10 sermons because there are so many scriptures on it. I'm going to take you in and out, or back and forth, I should say, between unity, the beauty of unity, and the power behind unity versus slander. So if I would entitle my message, I would probably call it The Dangers of Slander or Loose Lips and versus unity. I mean, what would you rather have in a church? Unity, or not just the church, the body of Christ, because we're all members of the body of Christ, one another. Before we pray, I'm going to just read off my the definition of what the Bible calls slander. Slander, in a biblical translation, would be any derogatory statement, true or untrue, to diminish and or harm another person. Remember, everything that I say here. Then the next one is important because it makes us fall under that, all of us, category. Intentionally or unintentional. So you might not even know you're doing it. So that would be unintentional, but intentional, that would be evil to another extent, to another level. So intentionally or unintentionally could be considered slander according to the Bible. Consider this verse. I don't know if I gave this one to Joel. It's out of 1 Peter 2:1. Therefore, rid yourselves of all malice, that's deliberate ill will or wickedness, and all deceit, hypocrisy, and envy, and slander of every kind. There's the definition, what we, intentional or unintentional. However, slander. Slander is anything that you do or say behind somebody's back that does not bring unity to the body of Christ. And I will get into, see, I'm not talking about where you have to reprove, rebuke. This is not this. But slander is something that you can give the enemy ammunition over that person and even hurt yourself. So before I get into my message, let's rise and ask the Lord for his blessings. Heavenly Father, I praise you and thank you, Lord Jesus, that you have given us grace this far to get away with things that we ought not have gotten away with without grace. So Father, you will apply grace to this. Lord Jesus, we know, I'm preaching this to myself, that I have fallen short of this, and I ask that you will grant us repentance and forgiveness, Lord Jesus, that as a church we will grow in unity and we will thrive. In the name of Jesus Christ, I ask this. Thank you, Father. Amen. You may be seated. So my suspicion is, excuse me, that most of us do it unintentionally and maybe also ignorantly, not realizing what discord it brings with it in the spiritual realm, which then also affects the physical realm. So this message is also important and crucial for our personal spiritual growth and also the growth of our ministry. So first, most, I am preaching this message to myself. I'm in the mirror here, and I don't want you to say, I wish this and this person would be here to hear this. No, this is for you looking into the mirror, for myself, and this is how I'm preaching this and approaching this with much grace, because we know, I know who I am. I know how I have fallen short in this part, and I will expose myself in it, that with that, also unity. It seems like my mic is going off here. Okay, back on. First, and I want you to think of yourselves of how you're contributing to the enemy's artillery with slander. Anytime we slander our fellow believers, brothers or sisters, we provide ammo to the enemy, where they take advantage of the situation and with our misguided words and compound the problems. and that never benefits or adds to the betterment of the person that we're slandering. And at the same time, it also helps us nothing, but on the contrary, it actually hurts us, if anything. This message pertains to all of us as children of God. If we will not put a check on our slanderous tongue, it will stun our spiritual growth and may even destroy us according to the word of God. I'll get into those scriptures yet. Slander is also rampant in our workplaces. How do I know this? Because I was part of it. The Lord brought it to my attention how we slander fellow workers, even bosses, leaders in our workplace. And so we need to put a stop to that. So this is a matter of willingness on our part, first to recognize that we're guilty, repent of it, and let the Holy Spirit help us with controlling our tongue. Because I suspect you will never have the ability or the power to put a stop to it yourselves. This has to be first a recognition on our part that we are guilty, and then when you start, the first step is like salvation. You don't get saved because Jesus saves you. There's a step to it. You have to come. Then he does his work. This is the same way with anything you do in Christ. It's a step of faith. Faith means you take the first step, then all of a sudden something supernatural kicks in. It's the same with healing or with anything else. God doesn't just heal someone. You have to go lay hands or pray for the person. That's the step there. So in this case, the step would be that you repent and come to God and then start from there that you have been slanderous and knocking people down and that God will now allow healing to take place in our lives. So what does the Bible say about gossip or slander? I'm going to focus a little bit on gossip here, which is a close cousin and relative of slander. Gossip is an extremely dangerous sin. You may think nothing of sharing a juicy story with friends over coffee. You may rationalize you're not hurting anyone. And the church is not immune to this practice. Gossip has become associated with Christian churches in many circles. So for the record, as I just stated, gossip is a close relative of slander. Yet God does not minimize or justify gossip and slander. God is clear he despises them. He puts talebearing and character assassination in the same category as murder, hating God, and inventing evil. James puts it this way, saying your religion is worthless if you don't have a tight rein on your tongue. God promised to destroy those who slander their neighbor. Can God be any clearer on the issue? He really does. Really dislikes gossip and slander. And again, slander is always done behind another person's back. That's evident. We all are not immune from slander or being slandered. I'll get into that, into the being slandered part also. We should rather choose to bless like our Savior did. I'm going to get into now the unity of what, how powerful unity is when we, as brothers and sisters, live in unity. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. That's John 17:17. Then the impossible can happen, like it did here in Acts 4, verse 31 and 32 out of the King James Version. It says, and when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. Verse 32, and the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Look back now and reminisce on what you have read in the past and what this church did. They turned the world upside down with the unity and the power of the Holy Ghost. But it is the power of the Holy Spirit that brought that unity. But there had to be a willingness first on our part to come together. They got together first of all and stayed in one place before the Holy Ghost hit. So here's a perfect analogy of what unity can accomplish. So did you know that one Belgian horse can pull 8,000 pounds? That's one horse. How many pounds do you think two Belgian horses can pull? You want to take a guess at that? If one can pull 8, how many do you think two can pull? As a matter of fact, it does not. It's a bit of a rhetorical question, but as a matter of fact, they can put it triples. And why does it triple? Because of the unity and the fight in them to outdo each other. So they're pulling in the same direction, but they are trying to outdo each other in doing the good, going for the both cause. for the same cars, and they actually pulled 24,000 pounds. So it triples. The same applies. This unity applies to the Church of Jesus Christ. If we are all pulling in the same direction, it's in marriage also. If you're always like this, you will never grow. But if we're both like this, go in the same direction, you can see that unity brings an incredible bond and strength in what Christ has for us. It brings grace. It brings a lot of things with it. There's fruits of the Spirit that come with that unity. You can clearly see how unity can multiply strength mightily, and that's just two. Now think, every time you put another one on there, it multiplies. It doesn't add. It multiplies. And the reason is they're trying to outdo each other in working towards the same goal. But slander has the power to disrupt that unity and to break those cords and the union of us trying to outdo each other in doing good. Jesus' greatest hope for his church is that Christians live in communion with one another. This is a greater unity that any worldly group could ever hope for. Jesus compares it with the bond he has with his Father. He prays for his church that you would be, that we would be one with your fellow Christians as he and the Father are one. So let's make it our habit to pray for someone without slandering the wrongs of our brothers and sisters who have done wrong. And I'm going to get also into that part. In 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 8, it says, "And above all things have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover a multitude of sins." This is the attitude to have towards somebody. That does not mean you don't correct. That my message is about slander, about doing things to destroy somebody behind their back, which again we might be doing ignorantly and also unwillingly or without us really recognizing that we're doing it to hurt the person. But after this day today, this morning, we will have a little bit more knowledge in it. And remember, my people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. In this case, it could flip also. The knowledge will give you the power to change your ways, and if you don't, that can also destroy you. So gossip and slander destroy this oneness. A loose tongue sows seeds of division. The gossip and slander privately attack their brothers and sisters. They murder reputations and ministries. You can see this all over Facebook and all over YouTube, how they're destroying ministries with their loose lips and their slanderous lips. They attack sheep Jesus paid for with his blood. They just do it privately and tend to think little of it. And some of these things are not even done privately anymore. It's done quite publicly already. And they are Christians without love, if there is such a thing. Sounds like a bit of an oxymoron to me here. Jesus is the shepherd of those vulnerable sheep. He's in charge of defending them. He is armed and ready to fight those attacking his flock, no matter where they're coming from. So if we talk ill or critique another believer behind his or her back, the good shepherd will defend his own with vengeance. So let us choose our words wisely. God takes our words very seriously. We will be held responsible for every idle word that comes from our lips. I'll repeat that because it's worth repeating. So next time you open your mouth and you just want to flap your lips about somebody, think about this. God takes our words very seriously. We will be held responsible for every idle word that comes from our lips. And I want to add this to it. This does not pertain to your salvation. You're saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. Your soul is set apart from this. This is conduct. This is talking about conduct. So let's take control of our hearts and lips and concentrate our both to Jesus. So now when Jesus concentrated our spirits to him eternally, we have to do our part in doing our lips and our physical bodies to him. And it's a daily task where we fight daily against the enemy to perfect our walk with him. So I just want to add this. This is not going to help you. If you have a spirit of anger, it will never improve a situation like that and will most likely contribute or aid a slanderous lips. So if you have a spirit of anger, deal with that spirit of anger. I know I had it. And the Lord has dealt very gently and seriously with my own anger. And it's really quite remarkable how the Lord can deliver you from something once you recognize you have a problem in it. But the healing starts when you start seeing that you actually do have an issue with that. So in Romans 14, 14, verse 1 and verse 4 out of the King James Version, it says, "Him that is weak in faith, receive you, but not to doubtful disputations," which means avoid arguing with him. That's what this doubtful disputations means here. In verse 4, it says, "Who are you that judges another man's servant? To his own master he stands or falls. Yes, he shall be held up, for who's going to make him stand? God makes us stand." So when the time will come, God will make him stand. Have we considered this as we are tempted to light a fire of gossip? Have we thought about how much Jesus loves that person you target for slander? The Bible teaches us clearly how to operate with a brother or sister who is unruly or does not live right, but it is certainly not with slander. So there are ways to deal with that. In 1 Corinthians 13, 4 to 11 in the New Living Translation, it says, "Love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. It does not demand its own way. It is not irritable. It keeps no record of being wronged." That's when you're being slandered. "It does not rejoice without injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins. Love never gives up, never loses faith. It's always hopeful and endures through every circumstances." This is something we cannot bypass in our Christian walk. Forget about it. If you want to continue your life and your walk with Christ, this is something that has to be made part of. And again, I'm going to stress, you cannot do it on your own. This has something that this is a love that has to be given to you, shed abroad in our hearts. In Galatians 6, 1 to 3, in the New Living Translation, it says this, "Dear brothers and sisters, if another believer is overcome by some fault, you who are godly should gently and humbly help that person back onto the right path, and be careful not to fall into the same temptation yourselves. Share each other's burdens, and in this way obey the laws of Christ." So a believer who is not living right, who doesn't want our help, is most certainly not going to benefit from being slandered and run behind his back. The prodigal son would have rejected our help also while he was living it up. Remember, the story has a beautiful ending. And we read nothing about how slander brought him back to the Father. So Philippians 2:3 out in the New English Version, it says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain deceit. I'll finish it in the King James Version. It says, but in lowliness of mind, remember, lowliness of mind, let each esteem each other more than themselves. So slanderous lips are a sign of spiritual arrogance. Remember that. It means you think yourself higher than somebody else's, and you're forgetting that you can fall into this down that slippery slope back to exactly where that person is you're slandering. In 1 Peter 3, 10 to 12, it says, "For whoever would love life and see good days must keep their tongue from evil and their lips from deceitful speech. They must turn their evil and do good. They must seek peace and pursue it." That's the peace of the Lord Jesus Christ. "For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their prayer, but the face of the Lord is against those who do evil." This is all not something you cannot accomplish without Christ. It is not possible. You have to have a relationship. This is why I'm encouraging you to look in the mirror yourself and perfect that within yourself. The unity will come on its own. The Spirit will do its own. But this is something we focus on not each other, but on ourselves. So slander, it has the ability to paralyze a ministry if not checked at the door. If our life or ministry is at a stalemate, we need to check our slander meter and zero it out once and for all. Then that will sow the seeds to living life and seeing good days that the Apostle Peter wrote about. In Proverbs 18, 7 to 8, it says, "The mouth of fools are their undoing, and their lips are a snare to their very lives. The words of a gossip are like choice morsels. They go down to the innermost parts." Proverbs 18 is a scripture we use lots and repeat lots of times. Is death and life are in the power of the tongue. They that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. So be careful of what this fruit is, both sides of the coin here. So don't be too surprised when what you mete out is measured back to you. And here Solomon repeats verse 8 again that I just read before. Chapter 26, verse 22. And the words of a talebearer are wounds. They go down to the innermost part of the belly. Folks, that's damaging no matter which way you look at it. That's why it's important to watch and weigh every word that comes out of our mouth. In 2 Corinthians 10, verse 6 out of the King James Version, it says, "And having in readiness to revenge all disobedience when our obedience is fulfilled in this." So once we have successfully conquered the demon of slander, we can tell others that it is not appropriate to slander. But I would strongly advise you to keep silent until the time comes where you have complete control over your own tongue. In Jude 1, verse 9, King James Version, it says, "Yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses." This is against the devil here. "He dared not to bring any railing accusations," also known as slander, against the devil. The Lord just said, "The Lord rebuke you." That was all he had to say to him. In 1 Corinthians 5, it says, the last part of the chapter, I didn't give you this verse here, but I'll just repeat how we deal with people who don't live right. The last part of the chapter out of 1 Corinthians chapter 5, it teaches us how to deal with a brother and sister who choose to live a wicked life, but slander is not the tool that will fix that prodigal one. That chapter defines and shows you how we ought to deal with such people. How does God feel about slander? In Matthew 12, verse 36, it says, "I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will give an account for every careless word that we speak." I'm going to repeat that. "I tell you," this is Jesus speaking, "on the day of judgment, people will give account for every careless word that we speak." Many of us will say, "Lord Jesus, I plead the blood because I did a lot of that." But we have a choice now to make to stop it before that time comes. Repent of it before. You'll still get your ticket into heaven, but you'll be very ashamed, and God will help to wipe those tears of shame from your eyes. In Psalm 101, verse 5, it says, "Whosoever slanders his neighbor secretly, I will destroy." Wow, that's pretty strong. "Whosoever has a haughty look and an arrogant heart, I will not endure." That is incredible if you think about this. In other words, you will not prosper. In Proverbs 13:3, it says, "Those who guard their lips preserve their lives, but those who speak rashly will come to ruin." Proverbs 18:7, "The mouth of fools are their undoing. Their lips are a snare to their very lives." Bad friends slander their friends. You have friends that slander. Stay away from them, rather. But don't slander them either. You can just keep away from them. Proverbs 20:19 says this, "Whoever goes about slandering reveals secrets. Therefore, do not associate with a simple babbler." In Proverbs 26:24, it says, "Enemies disguise themselves with their lips, but in their hearts they harbor deceit." I'll clarify this verse here. In Proverbs 10:18, it says, "Whoever conceals hatred with lying lips and spreads slander is a fool." Here, this is what that simply means: we mask our slanderous lips with nice words in front of them, but behind our backs we slander. And call them all kinds of different things. Psalm 141, verse 3, it says, "Set a guard over my mouth, Lord. Keep watch over the door of my lips." Again, Psalm 34:13, "Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from telling lies." Ephesians 4, verse 31, Apostle Paul writing, is, "Get rid of all bitterness." This is now not just slander. "Get rid of all bitterness, rage," that's anger I was talking about before, "and anger, brawling, slander, and along with every form of malice." Now, how should Christians respond to slander? If you're being slandered, this is how you do it. It's called turning the other cheek. In 1 Peter 3, verse 9, it says, "Do not repay evil with evil, or insult with insult, On the contrary, repay evil with blessing. And again, when we say blessing, you say, Lord, you will bless that person. What are you doing? My wife have discussed this a lot, that doesn't necessarily mean blessing with material things. That means blessing him with the things that the person is lacking, maybe knowledge and insight that he's doing it. So the blessing there is directly related to on what he is lacking. So that's the blessing that we're asking the Lord to give. In 1 Peter 3:16, it says this, having a good conscience, so that when you are slandered, those who revile your good behavior in Christ may be put to shame. Romans 12:21, it says, do not be overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. This is talking to believers here. This is not unbelievers. This is talking to here. In John 13, verse 34, is Jesus speaking. He says, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. And this is not a conjured up love. This is a love that is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 4, verse 25, therefore, each of you put off falsehood, speaking truthfully to your neighbor, for we are all members of the of one body. In 1 Peter 3:10, I mentioned this part of the scripture before. For whoever desires to love life and see good days, let him keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. And jumping back into the Old Testament in Proverbs, it says again, 12:20, deceit is in the heart of those who plot evil, but those who promote peace have joy. I like the last part of it. So you can promote peace. You can bring joy and unity. A person who has that kind of a spirit within him brings an incredible unity by just walking into the building. He brings that kind of an aura with him. So in closing, I have two final scriptures out of Galatians 5:15, King James Version. It says, but if you bite and devour one another, again talking to believers, take heed that you be not consumed one of another. This is not unity. Matthew 5:16, Jesus speaking, let your light so shine before men that they may see what? Our good works important? I mean, I asked that question last week. They're absolutely important for us, not for getting into heaven. That will never get you in. So don't mistake me of confusing the issue. You get in. We're saved by grace through faith alone. But this has to do with bringing in people to the kingdom, attracting people. And you will see the next scripture that I'll have. But I'll repeat this one first. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. That's why they glorify God, because his representatives are actually representing him. Mark 9:10, verse 50. It says, salt is good, but if the salt has lost its saltiness, wherewith will you season it? So in other words, it's good for nothing. So he's telling us, have salt in yourselves and have peace one with another. What does it mean to have salt? That simply means when I tell you something, have grace when I tell you. Have attractive speech that is not condescending when I talk to you, that doesn't look down but actually looks equally at you and putting you at the same level that I am, and not thinking that I'm better because I'm in a position of authority where I can usurp as authority and look down upon you. I'll repeat that last verse here. Salt is good, but if the salt has lost its saltness, wherewith will you season it? Have salt in yourselves. That means have flavor. Have flavor when you do things. Have peace one with another. You know what you do when your food doesn't taste quite up to par? You salt it. Maybe put a few other spices on there to make it taste good. That's what you need to do. When you tell people about Jesus or tell them about even their wrongdoings, if you're in a position to do so, to rebuke and to chastise. And again, that is not slander. Slander is done in a position where Satan takes advantage of the situation. So why would Jesus say that? Was it because he knew we would get along and agree on everything? No, quite the opposite. He knew we're prone to fightings and disagreements. So he tells us to do things tastefully, with flavor. Live peacefully one with another. Absolutely zero room for slander if you want to live a victorious life. Amen. Let's hear a big amen on that.
Amen.
Yeah, praise Jesus. Thank you, Lord. So the reason it's very important that you don't slander or speak negative is this. This is where the tire hits the pavement for a lot of us. That's where the devil gets his information from to control, or at least try to control, your thought life. He doesn't know your thoughts. He can't read your memory, your mind. So he can plant thoughts on what proceeds out of your mouth. That's why Jesus said, whatever comes out of the mouth comes from the heart. That defiles a man. So whatever comes out of your mouth, not what goes in, but what goes out, has the ability to defile a man, because Satan takes that, and then that's how he destroys your life, and then the lives that are in direct contact with you, or even people that you minister to, or you think you're minister, or have a chance to minister to, and you can't because Satan is there trying to destroy. So we need to recognize, again, that's the scripture, my people perish for the lack of knowledge. So we have knowledge now on what not to do. Let us pay attention to this and do it. I remember about 25, 30 years ago, the Holy Spirit guided our prayer meeting. Pastor Dave came through him, where he told us we need to repent and for slandering Reaching Out Ministries, or even him. It was brought by the Holy Spirit. I'll bring it a step farther. Let's still do that and stop doing it to anybody who's a believer in Christ, anybody, any church. We're not in a position to slander or knock any ministry. We need to stop if we want unity, because unity depends on us starting something now, today. Today, if you hear my voice, harden not your heart in this area. Today, choose your words that come out of your mouth. If it's not productive, if it's not edifying, don't say it. If it does not pertain to the healing of a person, don't say it. If it knocks the ministry, if it brings it down, don't say it. Having said all that, I pray that this will bring us to a level of humbleness, of meekness also. And remember, meekness is not weakness, but and gentleness and grace for others, where we can heal and have that unity the first church had when they brought on that powerful move of the power of the Holy Ghost. Amen.